The message this morning comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42, and this is what it says. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen that good portion which will not be taken away from her." This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands and abides forever. May He, by His Spirit, bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. Christian service is a good thing. There are many passages of Scripture that exhort us to serve or to be servants. For instance, on an occasion, a dispute arose among the disciples as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Not so with you, my disciples. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as one who serves." On another occasion, Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be. Also, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So it seems that Christian service is highly valued by Jesus. And if Christian service is so highly valued by Jesus, then how do you explain the reaction of Jesus to Martha in our passage for today? I mean, Jesus comes to the house of Martha and Mary, and Martha welcomes him into her house. Martha must have been the older sister because she takes the role as hostess. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was busy with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." It is a mild rebuke, and it was a tender rebuke, but nevertheless it was a rebuke. So it is clear from Jesus that the value of service that Martha engaged in for him was tarnished by something. What was it that diminished the value of Martha's service to Jesus? And what diminishes the value of Christian service for any of us in the eyes of Jesus? I would say, first of all, that Christian service is diminished when it is so hectic that it becomes a distraction from Jesus Christ. A woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. That word, distracted, in verse 40, is a word that means to pull apart, to drag away, to draw in different directions. Jesus and his disciples have just descended upon the house of Martha and Mary, and Martha has welcomed them. It appears that Jesus has gone into another room or another place in the room and is teaching. Martha is scurrying around trying to get something on the table for them to eat, trying to clean up, trying to straighten things up, maybe get a place ready for Jesus to spend the night. Martha is distracted. Jesus is teaching. Martha is pulled apart in different directions by the things going on around her. She seems to be one of these women who gets things done. One of these women driven by getting the job done. She is a worker. But Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him teach, while Martha is trying to take care of a task that is quite overwhelming. The task is so overwhelming that Martha loses her patience with Mary and maybe even with Jesus. Mary's in there listening to the teaching, and Martha comes in and makes it known that she is not happy with the situation. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." She is trying to be a good servant, and she is frustrated. She is frazzled. I have been where Martha was. Maybe you have been there too. We feel as though we want to give our attention to one thing, and there are four or five other things that are pulling on us, and we do feel literally pulled apart, drawn in different directions. The culture that I worked in at Federal Express was like that. We were constantly surrounded by and bombarded by urgent situations that needed attention immediately. The world that we live in today is subject to put us in situations like this. We live in a busy world. A lot of times it may not be necessary, but we are caught up in the busyness of living in an age of anxiety. That can be a problem. It is a problem if we become so busy that we get distracted from Jesus. We're busy all the time. There's stuff going on around us all the time. There are beepers going off and pagers going off and phones going off and iPads going off and iPods going off and cell phones going off. And there's so many things cluttering up our lives. Busyness is an enemy to discipleship because it keeps our attention focused on a multitude of less important things and we forget about the most important thing. Secondly, Christian service is diminished when it becomes selfish. Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." To be honest with you, when I first began to look at this story, I wanted to side with Martha. Martha is the one who is doing all the work, and Mary has chosen not to help her. But Jesus doesn't side with Martha. Jesus sides with Mary. Jesus says Mary has chosen what is better. Why would Jesus say that Mary has chosen what is better? There are two women in this story, and each one of them has chosen to do something. Why is the choice that Mary made better than the choice that Martha made? Based on the actions of Martha and the assessment of Jesus, I would say that Martha was being selfish. But why is Martha any more selfish than Mary? Here's my answer. God has created us as responsible moral agents. That is a good gift of God to us. God has created us and given us a sort of dominion over ourselves to do what is best for ourselves. Of course, what is best for ourselves is to recognize that God is God and that we are His creatures and to operate with that mindset. We didn't make ourselves. He made us. And that is a gift from Him that we even exist at all. He has put within us the desire to be happy, and the greatest happiness is to acknowledge Him as God and to be in a right relationship with Him. We have the ability to make choices. We have to make choices. There are all kinds of factors that can figure into why we make the choices that we make. But ultimately, it comes down to this. Will I submit to God, or will I dethrone God and enthrone myself and make my decisions as though I were my own God? Will I allow God to be God and make my decisions as though He is God, or will I act as though I want to be my own God and make my decisions independent of Him? This was the whole problem in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They had to decide to obey God or to disobey God. They had to decide to let God be God and rule over them, or to become their own gods and rule over themselves. Satan tricked them and he became the ruler of this world. But it always comes down to that. We have this desire to be our own gods. And that is where selfishness comes in. Selfishness is when we decide that we are independently the center of our own world, and not only that, but we are the center of everyone else's world too. We begin to think that we are the most important ones in the universe, and that everyone else ought to think that too. Kelly Capick is a professor of theological studies at Covenant College in Lookout Mountain, Georgia. He wrote an article in Table Talk magazine a few years ago in which he said this: "We forget that we are part of God's majestic and interconnected creation, and a narrow and destructive selfishness results. We are noble and glorious creatures made in His image, but we are only part of this creation. We are not its sum and total. While it is true that we are inescapably the center of our own worlds, this is a far cry from saying we are the center of the world. Only the triune Creator is rightly understood as the center of the universe, for it is His creation. All things are from Him and through Him and unto Him. Because of our sin, we are, in a word, selfish. Sin has affected how we think, feel, and desire. Consequently, when we engage the world, we seek to bend God's handiwork to serve our own selfish longings. When we fail to see and value others, we reveal a corrupted self-centeredness that undermines the Creator and His creation in the process. This selfishness eats away at our own lives. All of creation was designed to relish the Creator's goodness, to worship Him as the Lord and Maker of all things. Consequently, each part is to value and love the other parts. A sinister side of sin is that it has turned us in upon ourselves. In disturbing ways, we subtly act as if we are the Creator rather than the creatures, as if all things were made simply for us. This is the selfishness that I see in Martha in this passage. She thinks that what she is doing is most important, and she thinks that everyone else in the house should think that what she is doing is most important. On another occasion, it might have been the right thing for Mary to do to help Martha. But not now. Because Jesus is in the house, and He is the most important one. And what He has to say is more important than anything else. Finally, Christian service is diminished when it supersedes devotion to Jesus. Mary is the picture of devotion to Jesus in this story. Mary realized who Jesus was. Mary realized that the Son of God had come into their house. This is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, God, a very God in human flesh. Mary chose to sit at His feet. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His words rather than to busy herself with preparations. What could be more important than hearing what He had to say? This passage of Scripture does not condemn serving. I read a couple of verses that encourage us to serve, and there are many more passages that exhort us to serve, but devotion to Jesus comes first. This passage puts things in the proper perspective. It points out what is most important. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." God is not really concerned with how much good we can do for Him. What God wants is our heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him." If God has our heart, He will get our service. When Jesus came to Martha and Mary's house, Mary set her heart to worship Him and to absorb everything that He had to say. But Martha was distracted by making preparations. And Martha had a bad attitude towards Mary for not helping her. Jesus commended Mary and rebuked Martha. It was of primary importance to hear the words of the Lord. And that was what Mary devoted herself to do. Why was it important for Mary to hear the words of the Lord? Mary realized that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus prayed in His high priestly prayer, "Sanctify them through Your truth. Your word is truth." This book that I preach to you out of every week is dependable. It is truth. It is life. It is the Word of God. In it, we find out who God is and what He is like. We find out how we got here and why we are here. We find out why we are in the condition that we are in, and we find out what the solution is for our condition. Jesus said, "Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Material things can be taken away, but the soul's communion with the Lord can never be taken away. Not even death can take that away. We must sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His words. How do we do that? We do that by reverently studying and saturating our minds with the Word of God. We do that by attending the worship services week after week and hearing the teaching of Jesus from His Word. That's how you sit at His feet. That's how you hear Him. You acknowledge Him to be who He is, and you sit at His feet by getting yourself in a posture of submission to His holy Word. This is what worship is all about. Treasuring Jesus more than anything else in the world. George Beverly Shea used to sing a song entitled, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." He actually wrote the song himself. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Yes, I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." I wonder, is that where you are today? Do you treasure Jesus more than anything? Do you delight in Jesus more than anything? Do you long to be in His presence more than anything? Do you value Jesus more than anything in this world? Is that you? Can you say it? Lord, I want You more than I want to be wealthy, more than I want to be popular, more than I want to be successful, more than I want to be powerful, more than I want to be famous. Lord, I want You. You are my vision. You are my treasure. You are my delight. You're what I want. Is that where you are? Do you see that this passage is about whether we understand the one most necessary thing? May God, by His Spirit, open our eyes to see it. Let's pray.